Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Zechariah 4, verse 10. We're going to start right there. We're talking about despise not small beginnings. This is a great series I started last week. We shared about David. Tonight, I'll be sharing about Samuel, one of my favorite people in the Bible. But Zechariah 4:10, I'll read from the NLT version, but it says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." I think that right now God is doing some new things. I think he's stirring people's hearts for new things. I believe that a lot of people have just been sitting idle for a while, but now you just see kind of what's going on in the world, and now is not the time to be sitting idle. You know, faith is not an idle thing. Faith is a very active thing. The just live by faith, the just walk by faith, the just move by faith. You know, this is a time for us to be active, to start doing new things, to start putting our faith to use. You know, God, everything he's put into us, you know, you might look back. I'm believing that you guys are going to look back on periods of your life, and you're going to see how God's going to use what you learned in those periods for his glory, for his ultimate purpose for you. So I think he's starting to do new things, just stir up new visions, new dreams in your hearts. When's the last time you've dreamed big? Just dreamed wild, just huge dreams. Maybe just set aside some time. I do this every now and then. I remember when I was needing God to just stir me up and encourage me, I took a whole day just to meditate, just to pray, and I wrote it in a journal. I just dreamed really big. On the surface at that time in my life, there wasn't much happening. There wasn't much going on above ground, but God was doing some deep things below ground. And we need to dream big, you know, just to set aside some time and just dream. Just write down crazy, awesome dreams that only God could do. And you'll be surprised. You'll go back to that years later and see, wow, God did that. At the time I was writing it down, I thought it was crazy to even think it, crazy to dream it, crazy to write it down. But God has done it. Don't despise small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And I love this because I love what Zechariah says just a few verses before in chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Maybe no one else can see what's happening under the surface, but God knows the end from the beginning, and he rejoices to see that beginning stage. God loves to see new things, new dreams, new plans, new visions being birthed inside of us. He loves to see us taking the first steps of faith in that direction. Sometimes the first steps are the hardest steps to take. Because that's the easiest time for the devil to just come in and abort the vision, abort the dream, abort the word that's placed in your heart. But when you take those first steps, that's when God rejoices the most. You know, Heather and I are going to have a baby here in a few months, in just 2 months. Some of y'all had babies before. You know, my parents had me when I was a baby. They probably rejoiced when they saw me take the first few steps. They're not rejoicing when they see me take steps right now. It doesn't take faith for me to walk right now. But a little, you know, toddler just taking its first steps, you can see it takes a little faith for that toddler to do it. But that's when the parent rejoices. You know, God, he rejoices to see us take those first few steps. I think God really rejoices when he sees someone, you know, accept Jesus into their heart and just say, "Yes, I'm going to live for him," and take that first act of faith and saying, you know, publicly, "I'm going to live for him." God rejoices over that. You know, and I think when we get a promise from him, a word from him, a vision from him, he rejoices to see us take those first few steps. Because that's where it takes the most faith sometimes, is at the beginning. And God rejoices over it. Some people might be laughing at those small beginnings. They might be very discouraging. They might not see it, but God sees something. And I just look back at my own life and see when I started new things and started, you know, believing God and figuring out where my giftings, where my anointings, where my talents were, and taking steps in that direction to develop those, to walk those things out. God rejoiced over those small things. because he knows how he's going to work it out. He can see the end from the beginning, but he loves to see the beginning. Now, I remember when I first started playing the flute. I've been playing the flute for over 20 years now. I have a doctorate from one of the top music schools in the country. But I was just thinking about when I first started playing the flute. You know, people always want to know, you know, why did you pick that? How did you end up picking that instrument? You know, I grew up in a small town, Kit Carson, Colorado, a town of 300 people, you know. But God was with me even there. God loves to pick people from random places, from random backgrounds to do big things. You know, I grew up in a town of 300. Our school was K through 12. I think I had about 12 kids in my grade. We were one of the big grades. There were some grades that only had 4 kids, but In fourth grade, the band director, he didn't even have a flute player in the entire school, and he wanted someone with some musical talent to play the flute, and I loved music. I had been playing piano. My dad taught me piano. He was in here before service playing. I don't know if you guys heard that, but you know, he taught me piano when I was in kindergarten through fourth grade. He taught my 2 younger brothers, but my middle brother, Andrew, he got better than me. So I was upset because we were very competitive. I couldn't handle that. My younger brother was better at me at something, so I wanted to quit. So the flute was my out. You know, I wanted to focus on the flute, so I quit piano. But I just started teaching Fisher piano, and I went back to my parents' house and dug through the, you know, the old books, and I found the old books that my dad used to teach me and my brother Andrew and Peter out of. And he would write the date we passed the song and our name and our score. So Fisher is now competing against, you know, Aaron, Andrew, and Peter from the, you know, early 90s, mid-90s. You know, my dad would give us perfect was the highest, and then awesome, and very good, and okay. And, you know, see, Andrew, my middle brother, had lots of perfects, and excellent, and awesome, and Aaron had a lot of okay. So Fisher beats me very easily, but it's his goal now to beat, you know, Andrew's scores, because those are the really good ones. Andrew still plays piano today at church today. But I started in fourth grade, and I just had a natural gifting for it. The first time I picked it up, I could play Amazing Grace on the flute, the very first time I played the flute. And, you know, again, this is a very small town, far away from, you know, where a lot of things were happening. Very small beginnings. But my band director, he knew I had some talent, so he actually, I didn't learn this until I was in years later, I think I was in college when I learned this, but he actually arranged an honor band for all the elementary school band students in Eastern Colorado. And there was an honor band concert in Carville, Colorado. How many of you have ever heard of Carville, Colorado? It's even smaller than Kit Carson. I try to look up, you know, they have a K through 12 school there, and a couple years ago I saw they had 35 students from kindergarten through 12th grade at the school in Carville. So there was an honor band concert at Carville, Colorado for all the, you know, Eastern High Plains elementary band students. And my band director arranged for his, the head of the School of Music where he went to school, University of Northern Colorado in Greeley, to come out to Carville, Colorado. And you know, he's actually one of the top band, you know, band leaders, top music school leaders in the country. His wife was the flute professor at the time, but his wife didn't want to come out to Carville, Colorado. She thought nothing good can be out there in Carville, Colorado. But my band director really wanted to connect me with, you know, the head of the School of Music's wife. And but she refused to come out to Carville. Nothing good can come out of Eastern Colorado, surely. But The head of the School of Music, his name was Dr. Ken Singleton, came out there, conducted us, and each school got to have their top student play a solo. So I got to play a solo, and my band director just arranged for this so this guy could hear me play. And he came up to me afterward. I was wearing a little vest my grandma made for me. My grandma would always make me vest. When I was a kid, all these pictures of me holding the flute was as tall as I was. But I wore these little vests, and there was music on my vest. And this, you know, famous, you know, music school leader, he came and he was talking to me. He was singing the music on my vest. He could just look at it and sing it to me. And he got me connected with his wife, and I, you know, got connected with her in Greeley. And my dad would drive me 3 hours one way for music lessons. He would drive me once a month. We'd drive 3 hours one way to Greeley, call it from Kit Carson to Greeley. I'd have a two-hour lesson once a month. And we did that from about fourth through eighth grade until we moved here and started Charis Christian Center. But you know, even in those days when I was first starting out, you know, I believe that God was there and he was rejoicing over that. And God loves to rejoice over the beginnings, and it's because he knows how each step is going to work out. You might not know it. You might not see it. And I think sometimes he doesn't want you to see it because you wouldn't believe it, and your unbelief would kind of thwart what he wants to do in your life. But God, he's going to take care of you each step of the way. And if you're starting out small, it's okay. God likes to choose people who are starting out from humble beginnings. Why? Because when you look back and see everything he's done, you can say it's only by his grace. It's only by his spirit. It's not by my might, not by my power. It's only by his spirit. God loves to choose unqualified people. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Dream big, because God wants to bring some glorious things to pass in these days. Dream big. If you don't feel mighty, if you don't feel qualified, if you don't feel noble, wise enough, smart enough, educated enough, rich enough, guess what? God has a great calling for you, and his calling should be beyond what you can do in the natural. If his calling, if you think it's what you can do in the natural, that's not a God kind of calling. A God kind of calling goes beyond your natural ability, your natural qualifications. You know, the devil, he tries to stop you before you take the first step. He tries to think, no one cares about you, no one sees you, you're insignificant. Why even make the effort? That's the enemy speaking. But listen to God's voice. God is saying something greater. He has a greater purpose for you, and you are here for a reason. God loves to use people in unexpected ways. And we can see that in the story of Samuel from the very beginning. You know, God wants to bring a great, you know, Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. He was the last judge. He anointed the first kings of Israel. But he came into being through a woman who couldn't even have children, Hannah, someone who was despised, someone who was rejected. And this husband had two wives. One had all the children, and Hannah couldn't even have kids. Once a year, they would go to Shiloh, to where the tabernacle was, to make sacrifice, make offerings. And there, Hannah just poured her heart out before God. You know, sometimes it's okay to just pour out your heart before God. Why? Because God hears you, God sees you, God remembers you. That's my first point. When you're starting out, always know that God remembers you. You're not forgotten. Maybe you feel forgotten, maybe you feel like other people have forgotten you. God remembers you. He remembers your prayers. He sees your heart. And when you're open to him, you're vulnerable to him, you're honest before him, he sees that. And he's not going to forget your prayers. He's not going to forget your cry to him, your petitions to him. He remembers you. He remembered Hannah. Let's read about it. So 1 Samuel chapter 1. I love this story. I love that it takes place in Shiloh. 2 years ago, I got to go to Israel, and I got to visit Shiloh. There's nothing there today except a kind of a museum. that the Israeli government has built there. It's really beautiful, but there's nothing there. It reminds me of my humble beginnings in Kit Carson. There's nothing there. Last night I was putting Fisher to bed and I showed him, I don't know why, but we're talking about cattle branding. I think we're talking about chores. He has a chore chart, and you know, part of my chores were taking care of the cows, and you know, when it got to be winter, we had to go take the axe and chop the ice so the horse and the cows could drink water, and we talked about branding, and he wanted to know what branding was like, so I found a video of people branding, and you know, roping down a calf and taking it to the ground and branding it, and someday I need to take him out there for a real branding to see what real chores are like, but now, this took place, just kind of, I think it looked like maybe Nebraska or Western Kansas or something where this video was, and it reminded me of Kit Carson. But Shiloh, when I was there, I had like a flashback to growing up in Kit Carson where there's just nothing there and just open fields, and that's kind of how Shiloh was. So I just pictured God just coming to this place where there wasn't much going on. I mean, it even says at this time there wasn't much happening with prophets. The word of God was kind of sparse, but God, you know, chose Hannah. Hannah prayed before God. In verse 11, actually, let's go to verse 10. 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Verse 12, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, who was the priest at the time, there at the tabernacle in Shiloh, he watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. She was so passionate in her prayer before God that just someone happened to see her, thought something was wrong with her. That's how passionate she was with her plea, with her vow before the Lord. So verse 14, Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. He was a good pastor. Don't be drunk. Verse 15, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And in verse 19, it said later on that the Lord remembered her. You know, when you're first starting out, when you're first believing God, praying before God, just telling God what you really want, when he puts that vision, that desire upon your heart, the enemy right off the bat's going to tell you that God didn't hear you. No one hears you. You're forgotten. Just forget about it. God doesn't really care about you. God doesn't know about you. Just give up. But don't give up, because God isn't giving up on you. God's not giving up on you. He wants to bring new things to pass in you and through you. It said that he remembered her. God remembers you. He doesn't forget you. The enemy wants you to feel forgotten, lost, forsaken, meaningless, insignificant. God does not forget you. He doesn't forget the promises, the desires he's placed in your heart. Verse 20, it said that it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Samuel means the Lord hears. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who hears us? You're not insignificant. God hears you. Maybe no one else really hears you, but God hears you. It's important to pray because God hears you. So let's go on here. It said that when they went back to Shiloh, she fulfilled her vow. Verse 24, it said, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli, and she said, I love this. She probably wanted to go to Eli because they had a interesting first impression. Eli probably thought she was just some crazy lunatic woman here, you know, that showed up here at the tabernacle. And, you know, maybe she was drunk, maybe she was not, I don't know, but she's definitely an interesting character. But she comes back and said, "Hey, you remember me? God heard that prayer." Maybe you thought I was crazy, but God, sometimes faith seems crazy at first. It's a little bit passionate at times. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul is my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. I love that. Don't leave your kids here tonight after church. Take them home. Don't pull a Hannah. You know, there have been a couple times where people completely forgot their kid. And I'll say, you know, they pulled a Hannah. I guess they're just lending them to the service of the Lord. We'll put them to good use. We usually call it, that's happened a couple of times where maybe mom and dad came separately and forgot to communicate. Or maybe it was on purpose, I don't know. But I love what Hannah prays and says next. This has really stuck out to me before. It's really important to read. I think it's important to read the Bible cover to cover. At least once in your life, maybe once a year if you're really bold. But there's a lot of good nuggets. And every time you read through the Word, God can bring new things to light. But I love what she prays here. This is in the New King James, but I just love it. It says, chapter 2, verse 1, "And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." Maybe you have a few enemies out there. I think the church, the bride of Christ today, has a few enemies out there. But guess what? We can keep smiling at those people and just waving, smiling, because God's going to take care. We can keep rejoicing in his salvation. He has a good plan for us. It's an awesome plan. He's saved us. He's healed us. He blesses us. He's taken us to heaven. We have favor with him. We have favor with man. So even if people are crazy, we can just smile and wave, because God's going to take good care of us. Amen. We know that greater is he that is with us than he that's in the world. We can just smile. Hallelujah. You know, there's going to be critics out there. There's going to be naysayers out there. And we don't have to pick a fight with everyone who's despising you in your small beginnings. Just keep rejoicing, keep trusting God. I love what Paul writes something in Philippians. He says that there's a joy of faith. I think it's Philippians 1, verse 26. There's a joy of faith. You know, faith doesn't have to be like this all the time. You don't have to pray like, man, if I'm in faith, I gotta look constipated and angry and I believe. I think the one of the fruits of faith is actually joy. It's trust. It's based in love. It's based in a relationship with God. You know, see, even when you're going through a battle, we can rejoice because we're trusting God. We know that he's going to work things out. There is a joy of faith. And I love Hannah's prayer there. I smile at my enemies. You know, this other wife, that's kind of an interesting dynamic. I'm glad we don't have polygamy in the church today. But she didn't pick a fight with that, and she just smiled and that God's going to take care of her. And what did God do in her life? She gave her Samuel, but then God gave her 5 more children after that. And she just kept smiling and waving and just rejoicing in the Lord who brings salvation. I love that. And I love, you know, she didn't just leave Samuel there forever. She was still his mother. She came back all the time to Shiloh. It says in chapter 2, verse 18, that Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child wearing a linen ephod. So he had his little priestly garments on, a little miniature priest. And moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, he wasn't a priest yet. He was just a little kid. But this mama saw something special in Samuel. Mamas know how to not despise small beginnings. I think mamas are the most prophetic people often that God places on this earth. Because mamas can see who their kids are really made out to be. Sam was just a little kid, but she knew that God had something special planned for Samuel. She started dressing him for his future office as a prophet, as a leader of Israel. You know, now that it's snowing here in the summertime, I start feeling all these Christmas songs going on in my head. I don't know about you. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, you know, walking in a winter wonderland, even though I think it's technically summer. But I was singing that song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know? It's a beautiful song. That your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make us new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? I think Mary, every time she hears that song, she's like, yes, I knew. I was the mama. The angel came to me and said, this would be the Messiah. His name would be Emmanuel. God, yes, I did know. You know, Hannah, did you know that your baby boy would be a great prophet, be the last judge of Israel, anoint kings, hear God's voice? She probably said, yes, I did. I didn't despise those small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. I believe Hannah knew. I believe Mary knew. And I love that song. I think we're going to do it. It's already on the books for a big Christmas Eve service. I'm excited. And the snow makes me excited, looking forward to Christmas already. I saw one of my friends had already started decorating for Christmas. I think this year it's okay. I authorize it's okay to start decorating for Christmas in September of 2020. We can start celebrating. We can start giving gifts and I think it's all right. I believe that the Lord remembered Hannah. The Lord remembers us. The devil wants you to feel like you're forgotten, but you're not forgotten. God still sees you. He still hears you. He still sees your heart, and he still places desires in your heart. If God has placed a desire in your heart, he still remembers that, and he's not going to forget it. So keep moving forward. Keep taking steps of faith. All right, let's go on here. My next point is this. So the Lord remembers you. Next off, you need to realize that the Lord gives favor. How do you get from playing in Carville, Colorado, to getting to Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center? The Lord gives favor. You see favor all throughout the Bible. When you trust God, yeah, you might start from humble beginnings, you might start from the outside, but God gives favor. Let's see what happens here in Samuel's life. It said that the Lord gave him favor. I love this. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. It said, the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. It takes favor to do what God has called us to do. It takes favor. It takes God's favor. It takes his grace, his power, his love upon us to do what he's called us to do. Now, a lot of us realize that we have favor with God. God loves me. He has a good plan for me. I have favor with him. I have unmerited grace from him. He's going to take care of me. But a lot of people don't realize that God gives us favor with men. We don't need to live life afraid of other. God gives us favor even in the midst of an opposing people. God wants you to, we are sent here for a purpose. And it's not just to hide out, to do things of greatness, of significance. You have to sometimes face a little opposition. But even in the midst of opposition, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of people who don't really like you or agree with you or think like you, God still gives us favor. That's important. I think a lot of Christians don't realize that. You know, but God gives us favor. And that's what happened with Samuel. God gave him favor even with people he maybe shouldn't have gotten favor with. You know, Samuel first had favor with Eli. Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were already, you know, ordained as priests. But they weren't living right. They weren't walking integrity. They were screwing up. They were sinning against God, causing people to sin. But God even gave Samuel favor with Eli and other people. We have favor with God and we have favor with men. So even in the midst of an opposing people, we can still have favor. That's really important to realize. Where I've gone, there haven't been a whole lot of people who think like me. You know, most of the places I went to school, I was probably the only Spirit-filled Christian there in the student population of several thousand students. But that didn't hinder me from God's plan, his call, his grace upon my life. Sometimes sometimes I just feel like Elijah, and I'd be like, God, am I the only one that's not out just sacrificing to Baal on a Saturday night at a secular university, committing the whoredoms of whatever. God can give you favor even in the midst of crazy. You know, when you're born again, the Bible says your spirit is sealed with the Holy Spirit. You can be in the midst of this world is crazy. There's a lot of filth, a lot of junk out there. But God can seal you. He can protect you. And he can even grant you favor in the midst of opposition. I like thinking about the Israelites when they left Egypt. Really, the Egyptians should have hated them. They were slaves. They were demeaned. They were put down. They had been there for 400 years. But Moses told them, hey, ask your owners, ask the people that you serve for their clothing. Ask them for their jewels. Ask them for their fine cutlery. Just ask them for it. And it says they did that in Exodus 12, 35, verse 36. Now the children of, and this is after God just struck them with all these plagues. They should have probably hated the Israelites, hated Moses, but it said, Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they had requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So don't forget, yes, you have favor with God, but he gives you favor with men to bring to pass what he wants to bring to pass in your life. You know, right now, Fisher, he's going to school. He just started at a new school, first grade, and we are praying that he has favor when he goes in there. We prayed that he would have, you know, and it's kind of a crazy year going on out there. You know, but I'm not gonna make major decisions for my life or for my children's life based out of fear. I'm gonna first hear God's voice and then step out in faith and trust that he's gonna work things out. You know, we're going to a new school. You know, wasn't even sure if they're gonna open. We believed that it was gonna open, that this is what we were supposed to do. And it's just awesome how God's worked things out. Fisher has tons of favor on his life with God and with men. He's got a great teacher this year. His teacher is actually a strong believer. Praise God. She's a strong believer. Her husband works for an engineering missionary organization, and they've lived in Uganda and England, all around the world. She has three kids that are very active, three teenage sons that are very active, and she doesn't have any fear. She wasn't one of those teachers, you know, signing her will and getting a coffin ready to go teach during the pandemic. She's actually excited to be there, feels called to do that, feels called to teach these first graders. You know, and I'm not a big fan of mask wearing. You know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, Romans 13, you got to subject yourself to the... Like, well, if we did that all the time, we wouldn't be a country today, if you take that interpretation all the time. If things violate your conscience, I honor God first. God first. Family second. Country third. I love my country. I love governing officials. I love people who serve. But I honor God first. I honor my family second. Amen. So you know, the school, they want kids to wear masks. And, you know, I'm borderline anti-masker. I'm just telling you, I'll put it on when I go in a store and I take it off right away. And that's what I do. Sorry if that violates your whatever conscience, you know, that I wear a mask for a second or that I don't wear a mask. I don't know. Whatever. You know, my wife is more of a anti-masker, but she's more of a rule follower than me. It hurts her to break rules, but I don't really care so much about rules. Rules can be bent, and you know, we flew to Tennessee to visit her family in June. You have to wear a mask on the airplane, but you can take it off, you know, when you eat on the plane. So I took a big bag of popcorn. And it takes 2 hours to eat a bag of popcorn. So technically, I didn't break the rules. You know, I'm very good at finding ways to... Anyways, and if you want to get really technical, you know, whatever. I'll probably... Man, the Supreme Court really bends the Constitution. I don't even know how they can bend the Constitution as much as they do. So I can bend these other rules as much as I want. Anyways, I honor God first. God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. What does that mean? Am I going to listen to, well, Romans 13, the governor says, don't sing in church. I see a lot of places in the Bible that says, sing, 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 sing. If God says to sing, I'm going to sing. He's number one. You know, governor is number two, or not number three. I'm going to do what my wife tells me to do before. The Lord gives us favor, even in the midst of opposing people. You know, I've seen people that have been crazy blessed during this time, who really in the natural shouldn't be blessed at all. You know, there's a man here with a young family who's been coming to this church for a number of years. There's an anointing on this church for entrepreneurs, for finances. There's an anointing of increase in that. And I see that. That goes beyond just what can possibly happen in the natural. So this man, he spent most of his life as a firefighter. He had a career as a firefighter, retired, came out, moved out here to go to care or to support his wife as she went to Caris Bible College. And this is maybe half a year ago, but he got a really, maybe a year ago, he got really bad pneumonia almost died, was in the hospital, I think, for about a month with pneumonia. And it was kind of serious because he had lung damage from smoke when he was a firefighter. The doctors were really concerned when he was trying to get through this pneumonia. They said, you have spots in your lungs. If you don't get this taken care of, have surgery, you know, you might die at a young age. We're very concerned about this. A few weeks later, here on a Sunday morning during worship, my mom had a word of knowledge for someone. She said, like, I see someone in a room with smoke, and I see that smoke just putting spots, something like that. She said, spots on your lungs, it's damaging your lungs, but God is healing that right now. And him and his wife believe that that word was for him and that he was healed. He went back to the doctor for a follow-up on the pneumonia that he was recovering from, and they said, all those spots are gone. Where'd you go? Where'd you get treated? You know, and this coronavirus thing happened, and you know, they say one thing it attacks is the lungs. And ever since the mask mandates come out, this man has said, I refuse to wear a mask. His name's Eric. He had to go visit an eye doctor to get a prescription for lenses, and he called at least 20 different eye doctors to find an eye doctor in town who would let him come into the office without wearing a mask. And when he finally found an eye doctor that would let him, you know, to come in without wearing a mask, on his name when he was checking in, it said, Eric, no mask, never, never no mask. He's like, oh, are you Eric, no mask? And he's like, yes, that is me. Now, he's an entrepreneur, and he felt like he should open a gym. And he bought rented out a storefront and has been remodeling it. And right before they're ready to open it up, this pandemic happened. And, you know, the opening a gym right now is probably one of the worst things you can do. Most people are pulling their gym memberships, not adding gym memberships. But he just kept trusting God. He's had some hurdles to overcome. But he just happened to meet someone who was kind of looking for a gym, and this man owned a business. And so, well, I want to, you know, get a membership for all of my employees. And Eric knew that he did all the calculations. He needed at least 500 memberships to break even. I think he'd gotten a few, but wasn't quite there yet. And he said, sure, I'd be happy to help you and, you know, your company, you know, get memberships here. And this man said, well, I have 700 employees and I want to get a membership for every one of my employees at this gym. God gives us favor. Even in the midst of opposing people in an opposing time, God gives us favor. Don't forget it. You know, we pray that over Fisher. We pray that his school is going to stay open. We pray that not one single person will get sick at that school. Amen. That his class will be blessed, his teacher will be blessed. And you know, I'm kind of like, I don't care about the rules so much. Heather is agreed by the rules. They have a rule that kids are supposed to wear masks at school. So we got on the mask, but I said, hey, Fisher, if you want to take it off, just take it off. Be respectful to your teacher. You know, and he just does what he wants. And honestly, you know, the mask for kids, it's ridiculous. You know, he came home and like it was all, had spit all over it. And he's like, and mud on it. He's like, yeah, sorry, I took it off at recess. I put it under a rock so it wouldn't blow away. And I'm like, that looks very unhygienic. I'm not a doctor, you know, I'm not an expert like Dr. Fauci, but I think kids wearing these spit mud masks, you know, maybe not the greatest thing to do. But anyways, half the time, you know, they're supposed to wear it when they exit the building, because half the time I pick him up, he's not even wearing it and doesn't care and whatever. Anyways, he has favor. We have favor with God, we have favor with man, and we have a good understanding. God gives us a good understanding. He helps us in what we are called to do. I love what Samuel does. There's a difference between Samuel and the two other boys he grew up with. There's a big difference. Samuel walked in integrity. Even if you think no one can see you, God sees you. He remembers you. He sees your heart. Keep walking in integrity. Keep honoring God. Always honor God. Always put Him first. I honor God first. I honor my family second. I want to honor my country. I want to honor, but I always honor God first. I live for Him first. I honor God first. And if you honor Him, He's going to honor you. Keep walking in integrity, keep honoring God, and keep being faithful. I love what the Bible says here in 1 Samuel 2, verse 35. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. So even when he was a kid, he was walking in integrity, honoring God, and being faithful. So remember that the Lord, He remembers you, He sees you, He gives us favor. And lastly, learn to hear God's voice. When you're first starting out, when you're believing Him for big things, maybe things look small, there's not a whole lot happening, but that's when you can really learn to hear God's voice. Despise not small beginnings. I love small beginnings. Even in my own life, that's when I learned how to trust God and hear His voice. You know, life it's not always going to be small. Especially when you keep trusting God. Things can get wild, things can get busy and take off really quick. So in those slow times, in those small times, really learn how to hear God's voice. Because you're going to need that on your walk of faith. You know, Samuel learns how to hear God's voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says in verse 1, Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. But it said, In the middle of the night, the Lord spoke, called Samuel, and Samuel said, Here I am. Verse 5, it said, He ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Verse 6, then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Now knowing the Lord and having a revelation of His word, they go hand in hand. If you want to know the Lord, if you want to know God, if you want to know Jesus, you need a revelation from the Word of God. You can't walk the walk of faith. You can't have a true relationship with God apart from this. Knowing the Lord and a revelation from the Word go hand in hand. Verse 8, then the Lord called Samuel again the third time, so he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, for your servant hears. And he began to hear the voice of the Lord. Learn how to hear the Lord's voice. In those small beginnings, when you're first starting out, learn how to hear God's voice. And He speaks to all of us. God is speaking to all of you even right now. I believe that God is speaking to you, ministering to your heart, and you need to be able to differentiate between His voice and your own voice, your own fears, other people's fears, the critics' voices. You need to clearly hear God's voice and cut that out and separate everything else. Separate your own fear, separate your own doubt, separate the garbage that the world is spewing all the time and hear God's voice. Zone in on it and hear what God's voice is. Learn how to hear God's voice. Verse 19, it says, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So in conclusion, I want you all to repeat this and confess this with me. Are you ready? I have favor with God. I have favor with man. and I have a good understanding. Although my beginnings might be small, my latter end shall greatly increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.